So it was more, it more felt like an opportunity that I didn't want to miss out on, rather than, oh, I like this, give me some more of that. Like it was, yeah, addictive. Why did you do that? That was a terrible idea. And it was a terrible, like, I actually think it was a really good video, but in terms of views, it completely bombed. And they were like, we did tell you that. I was like, no, you did. Fair play. You are right. I want to get myself up there and closer to those people that I've always sort of looked up to. So the Bens, the Kevs.
Hello all and welcome back to the Scouting Center. I am your host, Mr. Diz TV, and my guest today is a returning guest who was last on in April 2021, where he had 3,000 YouTube subscribers. Since then, 14 months later, he has close to 20,000 YouTube subscribers. He did this by working morning, noon, night during the Football Manager 2022 release period, showing us what hard work can do and what he achieved. That was recognized at the time by Facebook, who then offered him a full-time Facebook gaming contract. He has since uploaded over 262 videos on his YouTube with close to 2 million views. In relation to Twitch, he currently has over 9,000 followers, and you'll see him doing his Hertha Brazil save over there. He is a streamer showdown legend. There's no other word for it. He literally took 6 months off, came back, and on his first try won a third one. So he's a three-time streamer showdown champion. This person continues to go from strength to strength. He's a lot of people's favourite. It is Clate. Clate, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. That was ongoing, that intro. It was nice. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm getting to that stage now where I've decided the intro will be the interview. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was. I think you've said everything you need to say there. You've ticked all the boxes. I think we're good. We can get off now.
And there you have it, viewers. Please make sure you like... No, I'm joking. But no, thank you so much for coming back on. You're somebody who I always enjoy speaking to. We spoke, obviously, during the Streamer Showdown interviews. Mm-hmm. And now I'll get you back on the Scouting Centre. And can I just ask, over the last 12 months or 14 months, what's been your content highlight?
Content highlight? 12 months? I don't... probably the showdowns, I'd probably say, but also hitting those milestones on YouTube, sort of making that the plan and putting a lot of time and effort into those and hitting, you know, 5k and 10k and 15k on those subscribers. It's nice. It's like those are little moments where you think, okay, we are doing stuff here. We are making progress. So maybe one of those, probably 10k, I'd say probably, because I remember thinking how far away that seemed. And you look back at it now and you're like, ah. And you think in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. But actually, you when before you get to that point, you think how far away it is. And then you get there, you're like, okay, we've done something here. This is, it gets to that point where you tell people about doing YouTube videos. You're like, how many subscribers? You can start, you don't shy away from saying those numbers after a certain point. And so yeah, that was cool. Maybe that.
Because there seems, since the last time you were on, there seems to have been a real push to getting that YouTube subscribers, to getting YouTube to be one of your main things. Is that correct?
Yeah, big time. So just sort of thought about, what is time efficient for me? What can I do as well as having a teaching career, as well as having other commitments and things like this in my life, that how can I use my time to the best of its abilities, really? And YouTube seemed to be the best way to do that, as well as a whole load of other tactical things for growth and making it in this world. But YouTube, I think it sort of just made the most sense to me. So sort of shifted things across from the Twitch, still doing as much Twitch as I possibly can, but shifting it across to YouTube because it just made more sense to me, really.
So do you consider yourself now to be more of a YouTuber than a streamer?
I don't know. I think beforehand I would have said streamer more so, and that would have been the way that I would have talked about it. But maybe I don't know if it's at that point yet, but maybe there might be a time where it would be more of a YouTuber. I think more of my time goes into the YouTube side of things now than does for Twitch. And Twitch is kind of my, I was going to say like the bread and butter, but it's sort of my relaxing time. You go in and have and hang out with the viewers and have a nice chat and play a save because you enjoy playing Football Manager and you're not trying to make content around it, really. You're just playing a save that you think people might want to join you on. Whereas YouTube, you're trying to think of these new ideas and new videos that you think will do well. And that's where the passion sort of is a little bit more. Not that there isn't in Twitch, but also, yeah, maybe more so. Maybe you're right.
Well, let's talk about your passion for YouTube, because at the start of the Football Manager 2022 cycle, you went, and I think there's no better term for it than ham. You went absolutely ham on YouTube morning, night, afternoon. Like, I was waking up, I was coming back from work, I was chilling out, and I'd see it pinged up that you've got a new video out. Can you tell me, like, where did that motivation come from to make all those videos and those ideas as well?
So I feel like you're on this a little bit at the moment with how many of these you're making and how many of these interviews and videos you're doing. It's just when you sort of catch that little train and you're on it and you're like, okay, and then you see the progress with each one. And I think just the start of an FM cycle, from doing it, so it was sort of my second cycle really properly, and I realized how many views there are to be had and how much interest there is around the game, that I got that feeling of when I wasn't doing a video, I was thinking, oh, I'm missing out, I could be doing a video, someone's going to do this video, I need to do this, that's a really good idea, we should do that. And I had a little bit of help around me this time in terms of the people to edit some of the videos and people to simulate through the game if we're doing simulations, for example. That little bit of help meant that we could do that as well as still going to work. Also this year, in terms of work, it fell on the beta came out over half term. So I was like, perfect. I can go and do as many videos as I possibly can. And I no-lifed it for a little bit, which saw lots of really cool results, but it definitely wasn't sustainable for a longer period of time, but it was fun. It was fun.
You saw those results with new subscribers, high viewership. Was that addictive? Did that motivate you to quickly do the next one then and do the next one?
Yeah, I think so. Just in terms, it felt like an opportunity. I wouldn't say it's like an addictive thing of like, oh, look at me, let's see if we can get that, do that again. But it was sort of, all of these things I want to happen eventually, and I'm willing to put the hard work into doing it. And it turns out that if you do it right now, whilst the attention on the game, the interest in the game is at its peak, then you get the best results out of it. So it more felt like an opportunity that I didn't want to miss out on, rather than it wasn't that it was like, oh, I like this, give me some more of that. Like, it was addictive, but more of an opportunity, and I didn't want to miss it. So I think the same will apply for next launch, and we go again from there. I mean, even in terms of the rest of the year, I've definitely been more consistent trying to make sure that there is just a constant steady stream of videos coming out, because this is now what I really want to do, and I want to keep going with that.
So you say you really want to do it, are you talking about full time?
Maybe. It's sort of a taboo word, isn't it, that you like, you don't mention it, you don't say it. But obviously, if there was a scenario where that was financially viable and was a possibility, then obviously I think a lot of people would, I don't think it takes too much thought to think about that. I'd love to be able to do this as a job, but I still feel like I'm a long way away from that. I still feel like there's a lot of other things that I'd need to have in place. One of those things was, I was like, I need to get a mortgage. Can't possibly do that without a mortgage. Now I'm like, got a mortgage now. I can't possibly take that risk to go and start doing it. So there's always going to be barriers, but I'd be lying if I said that one day it wouldn't be really cool to be able to do that. But at the same time, I'm like, what can I do that's within keeping a full-time job and keeping all these other commitments, but also doing this to the best of my ability? So one day, hopefully, but you know, one of those for the future.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned the team that's around you, Team Clouds. You had people to help you edit. Can you tell me what that looks like and how that has helped you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've had this conversation a little bit when it comes to like the showdowns and how there's two sides to it. There's the side that is you can achieve so much more if you do have people to help you, but also it's really fun to have other people invested and involved in this. And it's a bit of a community thing. I hate the word community, I think we'll come on to that. But it's actually nice chatting to people every day. And there's this group of us that sort of do this. We've got the old school ones like Leonie and Toby and Dan. And then more recently, Pav's been helping out a lot more. And then Tom's been editing the videos. So there's these extra people coming on board who are giving up their time and energy and resources to help out, but also they're invested in the in 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 the goal, in the dream of seeing where it grows. So Tom editing the videos, he does 10 times more like analysis and looking into the analytics on YouTube. He's like, actually, by the way, if you do this here, this would mean, and then have you seen this video? Maybe we should steer our content towards this. And it's a very much our team Clates approach. But I love the fact that there are those people who I can bounce ideas off, and they'll tell me if it's a terrible idea. For example, we did like a video that was Referee FC, and I made up a team of referees and I put them into the game and I simulated a season, and loads of time and effort it went into it. And they were like, why did you do that? That was a terrible idea. And it was a terrible, like, I actually think it was a really good video, but in terms of views, it completely bombed. And they were like, we did tell you that. I was like, no, you did. Fair play. You are right. So yes, this whole dynamic, which I'm very grateful for. And I think it's up the quality of everything, like the being able to focus so much more on the creating the video without that feeling of, oh, I'm gonna have to edit this afterwards. So I'll do the easy thing, because then, you know, the edit will be easier. But actually, someone else is editing this and they love it, and so let's try and dream big. Let's do a little bit of research. Let's go and find out how we can make it more snappy, how we can improve that retention, how we can do all these things. It means that I'm so much more motivated to go and make videos, like we talked about, trying to go ham, as you said it. And yeah, it's fun. It's good. There's a lot to it. Hopefully more people to come and get involved and help out, because big plans.
I always feel like having a team really, really helps for a number of reasons. Because your specialty, for instance, is presenting, obviously, and how good you are at the game, etc., and how entertaining you are. But it doesn't mean you've got the time, the commitment to be able to edit it, to do the idea yourself justice. And that's why having a team really does help, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, because you can have all these ideas and then there's always this little nagging feeling, and I'm sure you've experienced it, of like, yeah, but I can't pull it off in the way that I want to pull it off. And then it's like, okay, actually, if there are more people with different skill sets, for example, editing, or I'll take Tobes as the example here. I did a video where we did like a CM attack. So center midfielder on a set to attack is like this ridiculous role this year in this year's game, where they just basically break the match engine and do whatever they want. And so many people are using them that I wanted to find out how you can make your CM attack even better. And I think we was sort of a thing that we figured out on stream, was that it's probably down to the traits that they've got. There's three: gets into opponent's area or opposition area, gets forward whenever possible, and there's another one, either way, or arrives late in opposition area. And we thought, I think it's one of these traits or a combination of these traits that makes the CM attack better. So I was like, we need to do a video about this. How can we prove it? But my skill set isn't setting up an experiment and collating all of the data for that to then present it in a way that people could look at and think, that was actually really useful. But Tobes is brilliant at that. Tobes can set up a spreadsheet like you wouldn't believe. I mean, some of the showdown ones that I think I've shown off on stream afterwards, after we've done a draft, just goes to show that, where we had spreadsheets that had, when you put a player in, it would deduct it from the total spend, and then you'd get an average spend left on each player, and then it would turn up the ones green, and also as you went through, it would turn the ones who were taken red. All of these little formatting things that made doing a draft, like, honestly, he could sell that as a product for anyone drafting, and it would be ridiculous. Anyway, so he set up this center mid attack traits data spreadsheet, and then that way that made that video so much better, and that video did so much better, because as people were watching it, all the comments down below were like, that's really good, actually, you've actually done something called, and they gave it like a proper data name. I was like, yeah, did do that. That was me. Did that. But that's where the team thing comes in, that you have these ideas and then you can actually pull it off in a better way, and you can deliver it in the way that you sort of brainstormed it. So hopefully as we continue, we can keep doing fun and interesting videos that are slightly different to what people are doing, because I think you have to branch out and do things that are slightly different, as Zealand has shown, as loads of other content creators are showing right now, that's the way you grow and that's the way you do things. So yeah, that's where the team Clates thing becomes really useful.
I think one of the things that I love about having a team as well, because I had one for a brief period of time. It failed, because we won't talk about that. I've got.
You're right, Diz.
I've brought Proudy back in now. We're fine.
Yeah, but, yeah, nice.
Mrs. D's part of the team now. Okay. Yeah. But I think one of the best things about having a team is somebody to bounce ideas off, somebody to give you ideas. you can develop it as a whole. It's more of a group project rather than an individual idea that might look good, but then when you execute it, isn't what you envisioned.
You haven't quite pulled it off, and there's nothing more frustrating than that, where you're like, this could have been so much better, but I didn't quite pull it off the way I wanted to. Having somebody who with those different skill sets to go and do it, it's so helpful. Yeah.
So can I ask, at the start of the FM22 cycle, just before six people were given early access to the Football Manager 2022 game, the Alpha Access, or was it the Beta? No, it was the Alpha Access. It was
Alpha, I think. Yeah, it was.
And then they made videos on it. That was
Ben,
Work the Space, Zenon, Lelujo, Omega Luke, and Second Yellow Card. Now, there was a bit of uproar in the community about, you should give it to small streamers, which or smaller YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I believe you commenting on it as well, saying that, like, look, it's fair. It's like, why wouldn't you give it to maximize exposure? But can I ask, did that also help motivate you?
Maybe a little bit. I don't know if it did. I don't know if I didn't look at it straight away and think, that's going to be me soon. I didn't see it like that. I saw it as I didn't think anything of it. I thought, of course, that makes sense. And if anything, I thought, great, they've got people from our community involved in the new game. And I thought, that's fantastic. And I saw the people involved and I thought, of course, they've gone for those people. Those are the ones with the biggest sub counts. Those are the ones who will get the biggest views on the videos. It made so much sense. Like you just said that I commented. I can't remember making that comment, but as you said it, I was like, that is something I would have said. So I didn't look at it as I didn't see it as a slight in any way. I didn't see it as a disappointment in any way, because as you've literally just talked about in terms of those numbers and where I was as a channel, there was no part of me that thought I deserve this. There's always been a part of me that thinks that has thought I'll be there, but that wasn't necessarily more so because of slights like that or like a knock to the confidence specifically because of things like that. That was there regardless, and that's always been sort of the aim. And actually seeing things like that gave more, maybe it did a little bit of a motivation in that, here's another thing to aim towards, another thing to look towards, but wasn't a thing that sort of didn't like stir the fire in me to make me think, right, I need to be there. But again, it is something that I'd love to be involved with in the future, FM, if you're watching.
Please be watching.
Of course they watch the Scouting Center.
Of course they do. They know everything about it. I mean, it is named after one of the main parts of the
game.
Exactly. But I love that, because it says to me that you look inward, you don't look outward. So it's very easy for people to look outward, get resentful, for instance.
So easy.
We have had examples of that within the community. Whereas if you look inside yourself, you find ways to improve, you find ways to be better, and you're grateful for whatever you've already achieved, and that's what you look for. I feel like that allows the best side of yourself to come out, which then allows these opportunities to kind of present themselves because of the effort and the work that you're putting in.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on that as well, that's such an important point, because I think I won't lie to you in that you have those initial thoughts sometimes, and I think we've probably all been guilty of it, where you're like, what are they doing there? Actually, why don't, and you have that. I think that's part of being a human being, is that you have those thoughts. But I've made a real conscious effort more recently, but probably I've had this as an idea since the start, but I think I've been able to execute it a lot better more recently, in that I want to sort of, this is not in a content sense or in a collaboration or anything like that sense, but I want to focus on me and my audience and what I'm doing, and improve all of that and do things that I know that the audience that is watching my videos, what they want to see is the next videos, and not thinking, I can't do that save because this person's done this, or I can't do that type of video. But actually, it's not copying that person, or it's not doing things like this. It's doing the best thing that is right for me and my community. And I don't want that to come across as a selfish thing, but instead of I think you hold yourself back so much in content creation and in this sort of world, because you're like, but what if that. Look at all of the successful people. They're all successful because they've looked out for themselves and thought about what is best for them in situations. I'm not meaning that in like a cutthroat way or in a business way, but more in a, let's improve yourself first and look inwards, as you say. And I think that's so important. That's been so helpful for me anyway, in that I've like, I don't look at what other people are doing as much, only in a can I be inspired sort of way, rather than in a jealousy sort of way.
No, I fully agree with that. I think there has to be an element of, I don't want to say selfishness, because that word seems so, it's got negative connotations.
It's really hard to put it across right in a way that doesn't sound like that, but I think you know what, you know what I mean, that it's, yeah.
And I hope the viewers know as well, like ultimately, it's not vindictive, it's not nasty, it's a case of, I'm going to focus on my stuff. If it kind of crosses what somebody else is doing, it is what it is. It's I'm still making this content, and you're focusing on yourself, aren't you? What you want,
yeah.
Your viewers, you know better than anybody what your viewers will want, and if they want it, then they can have it.
Yeah, and I will say as well, since being so deliberately trying to adopt that mindset, I've not ever been happier for other people who are having success. Because I think it's so easy, and I know those intrusive thoughts of when you see other people being successful, you kind of like, why not me? Sort of thing. And since focusing on yourself more, that when you see other people being successful, I've never been happier for those people to be successful. I'm like, good, go and get it, go and do it, sort of thing, rather than feeling like, why not me? Which I think is human nature to maybe have those initial thoughts, but I've really tried to push those aside and focus inwards, as you said. So yeah, I know it's really hard to put that across in a way that doesn't sound like you're being really businessy and cutthroat and selfish, but I think you know what I mean.
And I think we all know you well enough to know that that's not the case.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And
I fully agree, though. I fully agree. And I really like that whole being grateful as to where you are and looking within. Yeah. For me, that is so important. Being grateful for what you've got and then also chasing more. For me, that is so important. Just,
I'm proud.
Just in life.
I'm proud. Yeah,
just in life as well, just to be proud of.
Yeah,
100%. I agree with you. I agree with you, Clates. One thing I want to talk to you about is your thumbnail game.
Yeah.
Hashtag strong.
Thank you.
So is that something you made a concerted effort on to improve, or is that something that just happened over time? Tell me about your thumbnail journey.
Thumbnail journey. Well, I wouldn't say it was something that I sat down and thought I didn't do like a Skillshare thing and be like, I'm going to learn how to do thumbnails. But as you do more of them, you get better at things, and then you start to think about, oh, actually, I've done a lot of actually looking at what successful YouTubers do, not just in the FM space, but outside of the FM space, and what works on YouTube, and done that classic thing of like, okay, what are the best thumbnails, and tried to adapt my own, as well as then improving my own skills at creating thumbnails, which I found that I really enjoy doing because I find them quite fun, and I've just made that part of the whole process of creating a video now, which I know other people get, you know, outsource that, and you get really good thumbnails hopefully if you do that. But also I think it's quite important for me, with the channel being my size, to have that as part of the package of making a video. I'm like, okay, so this is what this thumbnail is going to look like. How can I then have a title that works with that? And actually then we can deliver the video as a three-part package in that there's the content, the title, the thumbnail, get it all to work together. And if I'm making the thumbnail, I can tweak it myself and have it exactly how I want it to be. I enjoyed making it. So as I did more of them, I got better at them. And then hopefully we got to a point where I think they look quite good now. But I think they can still be improved. And I think I still need to add to my skill set in terms of trying to do things. I hate feeling limited when you're like, I wish I could make this like this. And yeah, so hopefully we'll get to that point. But practice.
So there's a couple of things I want to talk about in relation to your thumbnails and your titles. But the first we're going to talk about in your thumbnails is they were so good that some of the top football managers, content creators were asking you to make this. You were able to outsource your work. That must have been a very nice, humbling feeling.
No, it was nice. That is, that has been a nice feeling. So I've made a few for a few people now. I made another one. I made a few this week actually for Kev. And yeah, no, it's a nice feeling. It shows that those are the people that I look to, or would have looked at their thumbnails and thought, right, how can I get them to be on a level with those? Because that's the audience on YouTube that are going to be looking. So how can I make mine as good as theirs and hopefully better? So it shows that I was doing things right, which was a nice feeling. And I'm always happy to help out for people too. So no, that was a nice feeling. It's good. Still feel a little bit like, are you sure? You don't want to get someone like... professionals to do this, but yeah, no, it's a good compliment.
And then talking about your thumbnails and your titles, you explained about how you can have a three-part package. Mm. Can you tell me the thought process that goes behind your thumbnail and your title and marrying them together?
So, I mean, it's basically that, really. It's just trying to make a video that people will click on and then a video that people will watch and watch for the entirety of it, which is sort of, if you can tick all of those boxes, you've got a successful video. So part of the clicking on a video is going to be the title, and part of the thumbnail is going to be, well, part of that is going to be the thumbnail as well. So you want those people to click on it initially. So have you got something that's going to entice people? There are little clever tricks that you can do for those, like getting a nice little arrow in there with the specific thing to click on, getting a little catchy title that thinks, oh, actually, because what you, especially with a channel that's at my size, it's, I want those viewers that are going to join for the first time with lots of the content. So I've done very little, I've done much less in terms of like Let's Play stuff, but much more standalone videos that are going to get people to come to the channel. Then start doing, I mean, we'll come on to this, I guess, as well, that the types of videos we've been making with like the Plymouth videos, which are then actually were almost like a Let's Play and people were really liking them. But going back to the titles and the thumbnails, it's getting those initial people to click on it, hopefully with an idea that is good and a hook for people, and then trying to make the video enticing enough that people want to watch it until the end. So I don't feel like there's many secrets in that answer, but I think it all has to go into the process, which, going back further, talking about the team thing, you have no idea how many titles I put in that group to people saying, which one of these do you prefer? Which one of these do you prefer? Thumbnail here, which one do you prefer? Which one would you click on? And just going back around, and I'm lucky that they're very honest. They're like, and they'll give me their opinions and not say, they don't just say, yeah, that's great. They'll say, no, move this, do this. And they've got enough knowledge. They watch enough YouTube to know what works. So I really feel like we've made a lot of progress in that sense. And the videos are, the channel itself is just so much better, and it's in such a healthy space compared to where it was. Not that it was bad, but I think that you want to always see that improvement, don't you? I feel like we have been, and yeah, getting better at it, at this YouTube malarkey.
Well, you're 200 subscribers away from 20,000. How much would that goal mean to you?
Yeah, it'll be a good one. It's a nice one. We've done a few recent videos that kind of shot it up quite quickly towards that 20K, and now I'm like, I need to do a video, because I think one more video might do it, but it'll come. It'll be nice. Again, it feels like, I just think back, I think on beta release day this year, I think we had 6,000 subscribers, and hitting 20K before the end of the game cycle feels like a big deal. And I'm proud of that, and I'm happy with that. Again, there's a part of my brain there that thought, yeah, but compared to other people, it's nothing. But still, it's like, no, we did that, you know, and that's good. That means you're on the way, and that's all I want to be, is just keep going with it. So yeah, that'll be a nice moment.
Hello all, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Scouting Set with Clates. Can I ask, if you do like this video, please make sure you like it, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment below, let me know about your favorite moments of this interview. If you're listening to this, whatever podcast platform you're on, please can you just give it that 5-star review? It means the absolute world to me. Let's get back to the video. Well, your viewership is through the roof as well. You know, regularly 5-figure views. Mm. You've got a whole heap of ideas. Can you tell me, what are your favorite types of video? What are your favorite types of content to put on your YouTube channel?
Favorite types? That is a good question. The favorite ones are maybe right now. So we've been doing these. So the transfer window, I realized just how much I love talking about transfers and real life football during the off season, which I've maybe like caught that Twitter bug of like where people just, you know, when like football Twitter people just do their list of people who teams should sign, and it's completely unrealistic and it's never going to happen. Yeah. That's me. I'm like, they should do this. But also like trying to be a little bit more analytical and talking real life football. Done a few of those videos recently, and those are probably my favorite types of videos to make, because they're more closely aligned to the types of video that I'd like to watch. So I love watching like a James Allcott, for example, and I think really, if you, with knowing that and watching some of the videos back, I think you can kind of see the parts where I'm almost mimicking what James does, because I watch every video of his, for example, and I think that's quite important actually. Is, can you, I want to make the content that I want to watch as well, So bringing a little bit more real life football in, whilst I'm sure this is not a particularly innovative idea, but actually, if that's what I'm enjoying making, I think that comes across in the video. And I think people, I know that there's an audience for it because I'm literally the audience for that type of content. And maybe those right now are my most fun. But also then there's the idea that those bigger project videos, like the doing all of the data and finding out some and analyzing all that data and then putting a video across like that, that's something that's slightly different, like the center mid attack video. Those are all really fun. I love making those videos, but then more effort goes into them. So the next time you come to making one of those videos, you're like, yeah, it's going to be hard work. There's a lot that will go into that, but then you are proud of them when they get done. I'd say now, though, it's those real life football type conversations, which I think I've got a bit of, I think I can put myself across quite well in those ones. I think I can articulate myself well when we're talking about football, kind of doing the Twitch conversations, but in a slightly more data-based conversation in the videos. I think, yeah, those are probably my favourite right now.
I mean, I feel bad for asking this question because you're still pretty early on in your football manager journey, but is that something you can see yourself doing as either an additional channel or something more regularly on your main channel?
I've thought about it. I've actually done a few videos as sort of, you know, testing the water on these things. I think a really good way of doing those is to use Football Manager as the sort of vehicle to do those football videos. And I think there is definitely a future doing more of those type videos. It's just really tough because you build these audiences based off your Football Manager. To then change the content in any way is a bit of a risk, and I've seen it go both ways. So we did like the Manchester United realistic rebuild recently, which I think it's one of the most viewed videos on the channel now.
58,000.
That's great. That worked perfectly, and there's a lot of real football chat in there. A lot of actual research went into that. I tried to make it as realistic as possible. I actually looked at and thought about quite in depth of what I think Manchester United might do this summer. But also that had the pull of it was an Erik ten Hag video, as Erik ten Hag was taking over the job, and it was a Manchester United video. So actually it was always going to do quite well because this is how YouTube works. Whereas I also did a video about Jesse Marsh when he came in as the Leeds manager, and I was trying to look at what his plan was going to be, whether he can keep Leeds up. I think there was a lot of valid points in that, and I actually, again, did a lot of research into it. And I think that's one of the lowest viewed videos of the year. So it's kind of in this balance right now of how much can we go into the real life football stuff and how much are people interested in that. But in the future, I'd love to be able to do more of that, but I'm also always, as we talked about before, I'm always trying to think about what does my audience want to watch right now, and how can I do the things that I want to do in a way that suits them. And it's sort of, I was gonna, not a compromise but a balance, and it's a give and take sort of thing. So that's where I think these realistic rebuild type real life videos are working right now. Like I did a Chelsea one, did a Manchester United one, they're really fun, did an Arsenal one, and they've all done really well, and I think I'm still getting across that real life football thing. So maybe in the future, but it's probably going to be a hybrid type approach. But who knows, longer term, I don't know whether that'd be really cool to think in the future we could go and do more football chat, but who knows.
Well, I think in relation to your real life football stuff, there's an element of Football Manager with it, with your real life that you've discussed. And there seems to be a real appetite for that, because you are the quickest person that I've seen. You're on the ball. So as soon as something happens in a real life football situation, around 24 hours later, regularly, yeah, I've seen you be the first person to put out content in relation to that using Football Manager.
Yeah.
So is that by design, and is that where the team can come and help you and support you make all that really quickly?
Yeah, exactly that. Those are the conversations that it's, what I think is, if you started up a stream as these real life things happen, there would be someone in the chat putting it in there straight away, and you'd have a conversation about it. And because people want to talk about the real life things that are happening as they happen, that's because we all love the game of football, we all love the sport, we all love talking about it, we all love pretending that we're experts about it as well, don't we? It's the conversations you have in the pub with your mates, all of these things, that actually there's an opportunity again there if you are quick on creating that content. Because people are, it's in vogue at that particular time. So there was a conscious effort to do that, especially around the managerial simulations with the new appointments, because at the start of the game, especially, there was the appetite of the viewers to go and watch those videos was insane. Like, we did a Ralph Rangnick simulation. They're such simple videos, but you can kind of get a little bit of your football chat into them as well. And people want to watch them. And ultimately, if people want to watch the videos, I'm happy to go and put the effort in to make them, because it's a win-win for everybody, right?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And from all your success on YouTube, it ended up with Facebook coming in and offering you a contract. How did that come about, and how did you feel when that was offered to you?
Yeah, it was a strange old time, exciting time back then. So they sort of, I think they had a bit of a conscious drive to bring more people to the platform. And I think in the past, I think most people or lots of people would have had this where you approach to go and stream over on Facebook, and it was always a very hard no. It was like, I love what I'm doing on Twitch. I don't want to go and do it over on Facebook for a multitude of reasons. But then got this offer through where it was to go and create videos, and it was a very handy amount of money. I know you spoke to Luke about this actually as well, haven't you? It was a big opportunity, and financially it was a big opportunity, and it was to make videos. Was it 40 a month? I'm trying to think back now. Was it 20 a month? It was 20 a month, 20 videos a month. And they had to be about 8 or so minutes long. So there's certain deliverables to deliver on. And I thought, I think I can just about do that. And it is going to financially help me so much that it's worth putting the effort in to do this. And regardless of what I thought of, the most important thing of that was that, can I still do the YouTube things that I want to do? Can I still do the Twitch streaming things that I want to do alongside doing this? And I thought, it's just about on the cusp of doable. And I knew that it would take a lot of hard work, but I knew that I could put the work in to get the videos done ahead of time to sort of still be able to go and do the things that I wanted to do, and the passion projects, which was the YouTube and making sure that I could hang out with the chat on Twitch. I thought about it for a long time. I was like, this seems like a big deal. And then I said yes to it, but I was very much like, this isn't, the money was there. But I was still like, I am still not going to go full time here. I'm not quitting my job. I am still going to try and juggle both of these things, because that was all part of the decision to say yes to it, was, can I manage to do everything I'm currently doing plus this? I think I just about can. And, you know, Kat was very supportive with that. But I mean, ultimately, from being able to go and do that, I've been trying to move house for years, trying to buy a house for years. I've never been in a position financially to be able to do that. And we've moved house now and bought a house. So yes, it was well worth doing it, even if it didn't particularly end too happily in the end. And it could have been nicer, but ultimately it was something that I don't regret doing.
No, that's really positive, and it goes back to being grateful, et cetera, et cetera. But how did it feel when they pulled that contract? Was it something you were expecting? Because when I spoke to Luke, he said he expected it. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, so but I both expected it and not expected it. And I spoke to Luke quite a lot about this as we were both sort of going through the same thing at the same time. In terms of as a platform, it was, I don't think it was particularly fit for you. So I think Luke may have said something similar in that if I wanted to go and find my videos that I had uploaded, and by searching for them, I couldn't find them. And there were so many discoverability issues. And actually, in terms of your videos being visible to people, the viewership on them was never going to be big. And I think the videos that I produced on that platform were of a good quality, and I thought they were good videos. I still think they were good videos. And ultimately, I didn't have a Facebook platform, and I didn't have an account or anything like that. So I was starting from afresh, and in terms of the views that were on those videos, it was never going to be insane or particularly high. So in terms of, was I expecting them to pull the contract? I wasn't expecting them to pull the contract, but I definitely wasn't expecting them to extend the contract. So interestingly as well, when we first were speaking to Facebook about it, the whole idea was to have a 6-month contract. And I was like, fine, we'll do it for 6 months. I'll put the effort in. That's fine. And then as we actually came to sign the contract, they gave us 12. And I was like, that's fine. That's guaranteed income for these times. Yeah, we can do that. That's fine. Then we got to the six, and then we had to have this conversation where they're like, we're changing approach. We're going a different way. We're going to cut the contract there. We're going to pull out. So I was both expecting it in terms of when they actually thought about the results that they were getting. So I don't think it ever made sense for Football Manager videos to be on Facebook, but I maybe expected them to see out the contract rather than pull it halfway through, but it is what it is, sort of thing.
And like you said, you learned from that experience, and you also gained a house, which at the time you weren't able to. So a lot of positive to take from that Facebook. Talking about positives, let's talk about your Twitch. You go from strength to strength. One of the most entertaining streamers, one of the most chill streamers, you know, you can do it all. How has it been streaming over the last year or so, watching your growth?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been, there's been quite, out of everything, I'd say Twitch is the thing that's maybe made me most stressed and worried about, I think. But even while saying that, it is sort of the most enjoyable, relaxed part of making the content or doing Football Manager stuff. Just in that I've gone through a few periods of the past year or so where I've been very frustrated with like a lack of momentum with Twitch, in that I've realized how difficult it is to do all this YouTube stuff and also do midweek streams, which I'd love to be able to stream more than I currently am. And I've got sort of gone into this routine of having the weekend streams, which works really well, and that's been something we've done, but I've kind of fallen off now from 3 streams per week to 2 streams a week. I'd love it to be 3, but trying to do everything, I know where my limits are. After doing this now for quite a while, you sort of learn where your limits are. That third stream during the week, most of the time, that's why I never promise that we're going to do that midweek stream, because I'm like, if I can, I absolutely will. I'd love to, but I'm not promising it because I just need to like do relaxing and chill out and, you know, go and walk Lenny and all these things. So I have felt frustrated with Twitch a little bit, not with Twitch, but with streaming on Twitch, because I'd love to be able to do more, and not being able to do more is frustrating. Actually now though, I feel like things are slightly different in that I have like a dedicated room that is just me. I say room, it's a loft, as you as you will see. But now, like beforehand in the old flat that we were living in, I had like Kat opposite me and we had both of us in there. So actually over the holidays, and teachers get a lot of holidays, which is nice, I'd love to be able to stream more over those holidays and do a little bit of extra, which sort of makes up for not being able to those midweek streams. But actually we'd get to the holidays and I'm like, oh, Kat's still here working, isn't she? Can't really do a stream. So even then I was like, ah, can't actually do it. But now Kat's working in a separate room that she's got. I've got my own space. We can do more streams during the holidays, which we did over the last half term, which is super fun. Do more videos and really make the most of it. So yeah, and then I've had like not feeling very well and things like that, where you just feel like it's been a bit stop start in terms of Twitch, I feel. Saying that, we've still had a really good time. The growth has still been there. I think literally this past weekend on the Sunday, I think we hit like the viewer number hit like the biggest total without a raid that we've ever had before. And that sort of was, there was like this steady climb in viewership, and then it kind of went down again as we had to like take a few steps back and didn't stream as much. And then it's kind of creeping back up again now, which is cool. But still so fun every stream. Still enjoy them. Still love chatting away. We've actually just with like the Discord and the community, I feel like, I hate that word, that's why I always do it in like
I heard that.
Yeah. In inverted commas, always with the word community. I just feel like it's one of those words that as soon as you're a streamer, you're like, I'm gonna build my community, and it's like, it just means it feels a bit cringe, forced. But there isn't, yeah, a bit forced, a bit cringe, but there probably isn't a better word for it. And I do feel like it is so important, isn't it, having those people that are your guys, your team clates. And we've just started a network game, actually, where we've got 20 of us that are doing a network game at the moment. We started it tonight, where there was like 1 o'clock on a Monday. We had like 20 people playing this network game. So we've got every team in the Premier League has got somebody playing as it, which is so much fun. And literally, I was just in a call before coming to do this here. And that you can see like the back and forth. I was like, this feels like, I always have like this imposter syndrome with those things. I'm like, these people are all here because of the mutual, like, view of being part of the Twitch stream, being part of the community. But I really feel like it's in the best place it's ever been, and it's really nice. It's really cool. It means that I think we can go and do more fun things in the future, where I want to sort of, the plan for the future is to do more videos that come from the Twitch streams, where the Twitch streams are deliberately set up to create content that will go onto YouTube. So as the example for that, one of the things that we're going to do soon is, and I don't know whether we'll use the Twitch chat or whether we'll go and try and get a do a little collaboration with somebody else, but I did a tweet that asked for people's FM confessions and their deepest, darkest secrets, and I think we had something like 50 responses on there already that of these ridiculous FM confessions, which I think can make for a really fun video. And then I was going to go and record it, and I thought, I can't record this myself, just reacting almost to these confessions. I need somebody else to bounce these ideas off and have a conversation about them. So similar to the worst ever FMings video that we did with Zealand recently, I was like, I need somebody else here to bounce this off. Or could we do this as a stream where we start going through them, and then you've got all of those people watching the stream, and that is your back and forth a little bit, isn't it? I thought, actually, is that an idea now that we could set up a stream that is specifically to do that? I think it'd be a really fun thing to be a part of, fun thing to watch, and then you create a video that I think would be a good video to consume on YouTube. So things like that, I think when you get your community to a certain point, become a little bit more viable, and I think they could be really fun. That's kind of where I want to go with things.
No, I love that. And I think it's very innovative as well. Like you say, you're thinking outside the box. You're finding ways to get that engagement. Now, in relation to you,
yeah,
it must be nice, right? Because a lot of people think very highly of you. You've got people like Zealand, when we do word association games, saying how highly he thinks of you. It must be quite nice to have this standing in this Football Manager community. And yeah, do you ever sit back and think about that?
Well, when people ask me that question like you just did, as you were saying, I was like, no, it is cool. It is really nice. It's very humbling. There's like, it sort of makes me think, right, we need to keep doing this. We need to take this seriously. We should keep going with this, because if there are people like Zealand, who is the authority, I think, on these things, thinking or saying these nice things, then maybe there is something in this, and there is a future in this, and to keep going. And Ben's been so kind in these types of scenarios as well in the past, and so yeah, it is nice when you sit back and think about it. But more than that, it makes me think, right, let's keep going then, let's actually prove them correct in these things, otherwise yeah, it's not so good. You've missed that opportunity a little bit.
And then talking about superstars, because we were talking about Zealand, right? The superstar of the Twitch stream nowadays is Lenny.
Yeah, he is. I am a bit worried that people come for the Lenny, and then when he's literally, it's the first thing that people say in the chat these days, like, where's Lenny? Do an impression of some samba.
Follow me. Okay.
That was good samba. By the way, if you don't know who Lenny is, well, as we talk about him, it's my dog. Yes. He's a little French bulldog. I'm sure that Diz is going to put a video in here. Extra
100%.
Editing work.
I will do.
it's literally the first thing that people say in the chat. They're like, where's Lenny? I'm like, oh, he's out with Kat. And they're like, I'm a bit worried that I'm like, oh, are they gonna leave? Is that all they were here for? I need to work out a way to get him into this room. So I've had him as part of one of the streams so far, but we're literally in the loft now. So I've got like this converted loft in this new house that's like, there's a ladder to it, so there is a hole in the ground or in the floor, so I can just about pull it back up. But I'm always a bit worried that if he goes, and that is not a Twitch stream that people want to be a part of, when Lenny's falling through the floor. But yeah,
health,
we'll figure it out, I'm
everything.
Sure yeah definitely. But yeah, he is the star of the show at the moment, and I think he will continue to be.
He is so cute. So I'm a dog person. I've got Buddy. And seeing Lenny, he is so cute. And then, like, how has that changed your world, though, as well? Like, your real life?
Oh, big time. Yeah. I mean, one of my really good friends has literally had a baby this I met the baby. I was gonna, the baby. That's like such a weird way of saying
I met it.
The baby. I met her yesterday, actually, for the first time. And as I was like asking all the normal questions, like how much sleep you had, how was it all going? And I kind of every time in each part of those conversations, I was like, I had the same thing with Lenny, didn't we? And I had to stop myself because I was like, this is completely different. This is a tiny little dog. That's an actual human being. But it does just completely consume you, doesn't it? It changes everything. It's I look forward to get home every day to see little Lenny dog and take him for his walk. I think it's a part of the routine. It's nice. I think it's really good just mentally as well to go and have those walks every day and have that little bit of exercise and go and have a chat and stuff. So Kat and I always try to go together on our walks and walk Lenny together because it's just chat about everything, put the world to rights sort of thing. So yeah, it's good. And where we've just moved as well has got so much more space. It's not like so we live in London, so it's not just like a London park anymore or like a London, it's like common, it's now like a park. It's like a vast greenness with nobody around, and Lenny absolutely loves it. He goes he was excited for walks before, now he's excited to go for walks. So it's good, it's fun. I'm glad that he's happy with it. Yeah,
it's so when we got Buddy, it was life change for us because we've got a lot of love to give, and it was just nice to be able to give someone that love. And we do treat Buddy like our baby, and exactly what you've just described in relation to what you were doing with your mate's baby. We do that all the time. And sometimes I have to say to Mrs. D, I was like, babe, stop it. And she's like, no, I don't care. He's my baby.
Yeah. That's what Kat's like. She's like, what do you mean? Like, what? I'm like, oh, just... he's a dog. She's like, no, how dare you call him that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that. Yeah, I can't call him a dog anymore. I have to call him our baby. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Mrs. D's like angry at me.
Yeah, that's why I've started calling babies it now and that. So, you know, gone full circle, gone the other way.
That's awesome, though. Like I said, it's great to see Lenny on cam. I love that you've made him part of your stream. I love there was Lenny cam in the previous flat.
And
I look forward to seeing you on stream again.
Yeah. Talking I need to set up a new Lenny cam, actually. I think
it's just difficult, right? Because we've got barriers over. I said barriers, like I don't know what your loft looks like, but we've got like a frame, which helps.
Yeah.
But there's still that one bit where he can squeeze through, and Buddy's curious, so he will literally squeeze through it. So we have to like kind of when we're in the loft, we just hold him just in case.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it is difficult.
It's exactly the same, and also it's just like so hot up here. Yeah. I'm like, he's leave him downstairs where it's nice and cool for now. But we'll work it out, I'm sure.
But then talking back about your streams, we've got to talk about the Streamer Showdown.
Yeah.
You took 6 months off. You took a break, right? You were just like, right, I'm going to let other people win it. And I know this didn't happen, but I like my version better.
Yeah.
I'm going to chill. I'm going to let other people win it. I've won two now. You know, I'm no one else has won two. And then what happens is Zealand comes, he wins two, Lelujo wins another one. You're like, you know what? I'm going to pop into the Streamer Showdown now. And you come in, first time of asking, you win a third.
Yeah. I like your version of it as well. It sounds way more cool, doesn't it? Like,
and now you're like, you know
what?
I need
to put a stop to this.
Yeah, I might as well go for Lelujo now.
Yeah. Actually, we're getting quite close now. Yeah, let's do that. I mean, there was an element of that, to be fair. There was like... it's time to come back, I think.
Yeah.
I think people are getting a bit ahead of themselves here. It needs time to come back. And it does look nice when you first come back and then you win the first one. You're like, let's see.
Yeah, it worked, didn't it? It worked. Because that could go one of two ways, right? You can have an absolute nightmare, or you end up winning it. And you win and you look like a genius.
Yeah, exactly. Especially as it was the first one on this game cycle as well. So it's like, if I came back and absolutely did terrible, it would have been like, well, it's just you're good on FM21. Clearly, you weren't actually that good. But do you know, you can't take it away from me now. Even if we do terribly in the next one, we've done well on this game, so it's all good. You can't, you know, everyone can have off weeks. But we'll see.
So can I just ask, though, how was your last one compared to other ones? Because I know before we've spoken about how it's been really competitive at times, and I know you wanted to get away from that. You wanted it to be more fun, more chilled, more entertaining. Yeah. Did you feel like your last one was more of what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, no, 100% was. I think there was still elements of the competitiveness came out. I think that's just who I am as a person. I think there is always that if I do anything, I want to do it well. And for me, but also because there's this part of me going, you can't look like you're not very good at this. So there's that did come through, but it was way more. There was a lot more moments of chilling. Like that whole Saturday was so much more relaxed. I mean, maybe it was because we won the first game. And honestly, if you win your first game, you are dreaming. You're laughing. I think we talked about that, didn't we, on the Showdown channel? But yeah, it was a lot more than that. I what I actually wanted was more of my personality to be in that Showdown, of me in the chilled, relaxed, hopefully having a bit of fun. I wanted that to be the mark that I left on it, rather than like this ultra sweaty competitive mode, which I think lots of people go into in the Showdown because it is so competitive. And that's kind of why we ended up taking a break from it, was because a lot goes into those weekends. And still, I have that sort of, there's a tiny feeling or part of me that when another Showdown comes around, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Not in a negative way necessarily, but in a gearing yourself up sort of way. And I want to make it less like that and more of a looking forward to it because we're gonna have so much fun. And I think there was more of that in the last Showdown than there was at the start. And maybe because in the FM21 ones, we were still relatively new and there was still more of, I need to show what I can actually do here. And I think now the more you've shown what you can do competitively, as well as you've shown what you can do as a streamer, as a person involved in those chats and everything, the more relaxed you can be going forward. And hopefully that's the trajectory from here. Because it was a conscious effort to try and do that. I think we talked about it and I was like, we're going to be so relaxed, chilled. And then I was like, look at this spreadsheet we've made.
Yeah, but I think it goes back, you know, people got to remember you've only been doing this for like 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. Yeah. And like ultimately it's easy to, I mean, you are one of the staples of the community. Everyone knows that you are one of the more experienced ones. But when we talk about experience, it's still not as much experience, like we're still learning. So you can kind of end up getting caught in the moment. Like you're still called up to a streamer Showdown. That's still a big deal, right?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
You get caught up in it all. And then ultimately though, I know how important it was for you to be a bit more chilled this time. And yes, you had spreadsheets, but like you say, you've kind of identified stuff about yourself. You know, you are quite competitive, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's harder when you're trying to pretend that you're not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think you have to sort of own it. You have to lean into it and do those things. And I think actually the more you stream and the more you put your actual personality across on, say, like Twitch, and I feel like I'm very me on Twitch, and I feel like my community, I'm still doing the inverted commas, by the way, the more you do that, the longer you do that, the more they get to know you as a person, so they can tell when you're super serious. And I think this was more of, there's way more of the normal people in the chat this time, knowing when it's like we're being serious and knowing when we're vibing and chilling and all those things. And you sort of grow into that together, don't you? And it's because it is so intense. It's without being in one, I don't know how you get across quite how intense it is. Now, you've been in one now. You can attest to this. It's a real melting pot of emotions. Especially that Saturday, which is on, it goes on for, well, maybe I think actually the Saturday more so than the Sunday, I'd say, just because there's that always that threat of the elimination game. And I feel like that's the thing you just want to avoid. And once you've got through to Sunday, like anything can happen. It'd be cool to win, but also if you go out, you didn't finish, you weren't bottom, you weren't last.
I can 100% attest that, because like the Sunday I can't really talk about because I didn't last very long. But the Saturday, my aim was seventh. And then I could turn it into something because I beat Jack, I beat Ben, and I beat Zealand. So I call myself the 100K killer. So if you've got over 100,000 subs, I will beat you. Anyone underneath that, no, it's not worth my time. But but you're right. Like you just don't want to be in the elimination game, right? You just, if you get through to the Sunday comfortably, you've done your job for that Saturday. But that, especially when you're down the lower ends, that threat is always there.
Yeah.
And then you're right, that intensity, every single match means so much more. Oh, I remember celebrating after I beat Zealand. And it like I thought I had the job done, but then I think Jack worked the space. Yeah, he equalized like really late on, which kind of meant that I wasn't through. And
were you in the one that where everyone thought there was going to be like the extra playoff games and everything because everyone was really close on the points?
No, no, I think that was the season before. That was the season before.
Because that was mad.
Yeah. I was on the lowdown for that. But it is the most fun that I've ever had. But you're right. Mm. It does take its toll.
Yeah. I am absolutely exhausted on the Monday afterwards. Exhausted. And that's just from a taking part point of view. So I can't imagine how like Matt feels on that Monday, or Ben, with the amount of emotional and actual energy that goes into putting that show on. So yeah, it's intense, but it's such a cool product, isn't it, that is actually put out there. So I'm always very happy to be involved, and definitely, as you say, don't take it for granted to be involved in those things. It's always a pleasure.
100%. No, I fully agree with that. As we come to the end of this interview, Claire, so I just want to ask you, where do you see your future? So like this time last year when we spoke, you know, you've accomplished so much since then. Now knowing what is achievable in the span of 12 months or 14 months in that instance, what do you think you will aim to achieve over the next 12 months?
See, I don't know the answer to that. Other than I want to get myself up there and closer to those people that I've always sort of looked up to. So the Bens, the Kevs, the you know, the Zealands, etc., the Jacks. And I want to be closer to them, and I want to continue to cement myself as part of this world and keep going with it and see where we can go with it, and hopefully be in a position where I find all of the, and I feel like this has been something that's been happening over the past few months, is really finding your rhythm, finding your groove. And I want to go and make the things that I'm putting out, the stuff that I'm putting out, even better and improve on it. And it's quite a wishy-washy answer, but just in terms of I want to keep getting better at things. And I feel like if you look back at where we've come from, I feel like I have been getting better at things. So hopefully that can continue into the future, and then reaping whatever that might bring with it. And there's no specifics, and I feel like we've mentioned the numbers quite a lot in this, which isn't, that's not the driving factor in this for me, but at the same time as that, they are the things that they are literal milestones to look back on. And I think you have to be proud of yourselves when you do achieve things like that, just because they are nice things to look back at. But in terms of my goal or my aim isn't to say I want to hit 50k or I want to hit 100k. My goal is to improve, and then hopefully those things will happen as we do that. So I know it wasn't it's not a defined answer, but it's keep going, keep getting better is what I hope happens in the future.
Well, I'm personally really excited to see it. I'm sure the viewers are as well. There it is, viewers. We've had Clates back after 14 months. He's done what he's done, from 3,000 to 20,000 subscribers. I know I'm talking about numbers, but unfortunately in this world, it's a metric of your success.
Yeah.
And it is, and how well you've done. So over the last, you know, 14 months to gain that 17,000 subscribers, 200 short of 20,000, it's pretty massive, to be fair. So thank you so much for coming back onto the Scouting Centre, though. I really appreciate it. You know, I've got all the time in the world for you. I think you're amazing. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to spend an hour with me.
All good. Absolute pleasure. Likewise. Anytime. Anytime you like. Subscribe, innit?
Yeah, subscribe in it. Do that. So viewers, if you did enjoy this video, please make sure you like it. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment below. Let me know what your favourite part of this video was. And I'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.